it's the River of God's anointing. We are so glad you have decided to join us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. It is a great day to be on the air with you, and it's a great day to just enjoy talking about God. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me is my associate pastor, my wonderful dear friend, and my amazing co-pastor, and what a joy you are, Pastor Jim Ellsbury.
As always, it's a pleasure to be here.
You're great.
I love doing the radio show.
Oh, it's just wonderful, isn't it? And, you know, we know that there's a lot of listeners who don't catch us live. We hear that instead they catch us later on at right. some later time on our website, which is all to the thanks of our engineer, Bill. Can you put applesauce back on there for you? There it is. All right, Bill. We love our engineer, Bill. He is a sweetheart. He loves the Lord, and he's just a wild man, however.
There is a super prayer out there today.
There is?
And that is debt ceiling.
Uh-huh, that's right. Exactly. Amen. And we do. Actually, let's do that, Pastor Jim. Let's just, because the Word says to pray for our leaders of our land. And pray, I mean, that's something we are commanded to do. It's not an option. We're supposed to be doing that. And this is July 31st of 2011, because there will be people that will listen to it at a later time. And it seems like Congress, Senate, everybody is just in a big old mess and a standstill. And I thank you, Bill, for bringing that to our attention. Pastor Jim, why don't you pray a prayer about that and then about the show today? And you out there, won't you join us in prayer?
Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that your word says that the heart of the king
yes.
is in the hand of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, we just place the heart of our president,
yes.
the heart of our Senate, the hearts of our representatives into your hands, Lord.
Yes.
You know the crisis that this debt problem, this debt situation could cause.
Right.
Father, we just lift it up to you and we ask you, Father, that there be a swift and reasonable finalization of all this.
Amen.
That this would just be concluded.
Amen.
According to your will.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you would put godly wisdom
yes.
in all of their hearts, that they would be led not to do their own will, but to seek honestly your will in this situation.
Amen.
What do you have to say about it, Father? I ask that you would make that known to them in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, we do lift up this radio program today. We ask, Lord God, that for everyone who's listening, that you would touch their hearts, that you would reach out to them, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Let the words that are spoken sink deep into their spirits. Let them take root. Let them grow. Let them bring forth fruit in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right. And that's a great idea, just not only to start this show with prayer, but to especially take our national problem before the Lord.
Amen.
So thank you, Bill, for that. And we're excited about what God's going to do on this show today, Pastor Jim. We have such a wonderful radio team. I think there's 8 or 9 of us now.
Yeah, it's growing.
It's growing. It's exciting. And there's new people. Last week, Madeline and Shell, who have both just recently joined the team, were on, and they did a really good job. And it's just exciting to see how some of our people are becoming a part of this radio outreach. Mm-hmm. And how important it is to have the variety of voices.
Right.
And not just you and I on here, although we could do it every week. But
I'd be more than happy to.
And next week you are hosting, because I am flying next Saturday morning to see my children and my grandchildren in Indiana and be gone for just one Sunday. And
so y'all keep me in your prayers, okay?
Pastor Jim's running the ship and preaching on Sunday morning, hosting this show with Deb and Alice next Sunday. So I don't like to be gone very often, but once in a while I have some family responsibilities that I have to go. And, of course, I love to be with my grandkids and my kids. It's really fun. So back up to our hometown,
yes.
Our home area. Pastor Jim and I are from the same area in Indiana, and we both went to the same university, but we did not know each other when we were students at Ball State University because I think you're older than me. No, it's the other way around.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we're close. Anyway, so, but it's cool how that happened too, Pastor Jim, that we're from the same area.
It's just, you know, the first time when I came to Beacon of Hope.
Right. Back to almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years ago now.
Almost 3 years.
And started talking with you. It's just like, well, okay, we're both from Central Indiana. We both went to Ball State University.
Right.
Okay, how
weird is that?
We
know some of the same people and leaders in Indiana. And it was just that God had moved you from Chicago down here, moved me 20 years ago, but you just 3 years ago. You had just moved down here and then found our church, our ministry on the web. On
BeaconofHopeMinistries.com.
Yes, there you go. That's it. And that's where you can also catch the shows that you miss live.
Right.
And it's so cool. And that's what I was saying earlier. Thanks to our engineer, Bill, who has made this possible. Yes. For him to be able to record and email the show to me right after the show. And then we get it over to our webmaster. And then it's on there forever. So all the old shows over the last year and a half, 2 years, there's a lot of shows on our website, which our website holds a lot. So that's really cool because that way you can go back and listen to these as teaching tools. I mean, I think that's a real asset for us in the ministry at Beacon to have this avenue on Sunday afternoon after we've had Sunday morning because it enhances what people have learned in our service, don't you think?
Exactly. Because the radio show tends to be a continuation of the Sunday morning
service.
It just
happens that way a lot of times, or usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're able to expand, and that's what you and I are going to do today. We're going to expand on what I was starting to teach on this morning.
Since you never got to it.
Yeah, what happened this morning, Pastor Jim?
Well, as happens, I would say maybe 9 out of 10 times.
Oh, amazing. In fact, it's a joke now, isn't it?
Yes. Pastor listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit and ends up with a completely different sermon than what she came in with. So, but we're kind of, we're used to it.
Everybody's used to it now.
And I said, actually before the program started, I just appreciate the fact that not only you, but Nathan leading music and all of us, I think, are getting more sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. And that just makes such a big difference in the way, in the flow of the services and just the ministry then that evolves out of that.
Ah, and today there was a lot of prophetic word, which I'm teaching on, what you and I are teaching on this coming Wednesday night, teaching on the prophetic word and what that does, you know, and that was interesting how that developed this morning, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people don't know a lot about that, and we would encourage you to get in a good word church that does move and flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we do at Beacon of Hope.
Amen.
And because there's so much that God wants to say to us on an individual basis.
Right.
So we're going to be talking today about some exciting things that are going to boost your faith. So we're so glad you've joined us today. We're going to start right off with a song by Casting Crowns, and we love that group, Father, Spirit, Jesus.
Worship we bring is more than songs that we sing. It's a reflection of our ever-changing lives, the best we have to offer. We don't just lift up our hands, Lord, we lift up our lives, for we know that you are worthy of our praise. To you our life songs raise. Yeah.
Praise God. Great song.
Amen.
Yes. We haven't done that one for a while at Beacon, and we need to resurrect that song. That's a great one. Well, glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Get your Bibles, and let's go to Jeremiah chapter 33. The point I never got to today, Pastor Jim, because we went, oh my, we kind of made the point, was about the promise-keeping God.
Right.
And so today you and I are going to amplify that with history from the Word, and we're really going to expand this in such a way that I think it's going to be a real good teaching radio show for people mm-hmm. that's going to boost their faith. Don't you think?
Oh, amen.
Amen.
And because we do have a promise-keeping God, and there's something I'm probably going to say a little later
okay.
just about that. It's something I read in a Derek Prince book yesterday.
Oh, all right. He's good.
Oh, he's very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is true to his word.
Yes.
And I think if we realize that,
right.
when we get that down inside of us, that God is true to his word, then the promises that we see, we know that they're for us.
They're for us. We can
and
have
we
them.
And we know that we can we can take those promises as our own.
Yes.
Because, well, we're going to talk about it in just a minute here. God is, he's made promises, and he said, I'm going to keep my promises.
Amen. He calls himself the promise-keeping God, the covenant-keeping God.
Right.
Jeremiah 33, verse 1, while Jeremiah was still locked up in jail. Okay, you got to understand, this prophet was in jail. And he went through a whole lot physically. Did he not in his lifetime, Pastor Jim? This man, down in a well.
Down in a well, stuck in the stocks.
Stuck, I mean.
You know, where he'd be lurched over. For a whole day.
But, you know, and I said this morning, and so that's kind of the way the service went a little differently, the sermon. But the prophet, usually, his life or the things that God tells him to say, so often his experiences reveal a concept of what God is trying to say to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And even this, because we started, well, I don't know, think we brought this up last week on the radio, but Jeremiah chapter 1, where God said to Jeremiah, you know, I knew you in your mother's womb, similar to the thing that God said to David. And he said, and God showed him a walking stick. Remember? And, you know, God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, what do you see? And he says, I see a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, that's right. I'm sticking with you. You know, I
love
that.
The Message Bible is so colorful.
Isn't that cool? I mean, it really is. But really, that's the concept behind
right.
that stick. So here we have Jeremiah locked up in prison. And so often people, all of us, have had those times in our lives. We feel like we're just locked up in chains.
Right.
We're locked up in prison. We can't seem to get anywhere. So a second message from God was given to him, and this time here's what God said. And this is, if you don't know Jeremiah 33:3, you need to mark it in your Bible because it's God's phone number.
That's true. That's true.
Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number.
And
there you go. There it went.
And I have to say, back when I got my first New American Standard Bible, back
right.
when I was in Campus Crusade for
mm-hmm,
Christ.
Me too.
Back in 1970.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This was one of the first verses that
right.
they had us memorize.
That's right. Because it is, call unto me and I will
answer you. And tell you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Whoa.
But call to me and I might answer? No.
Oh, I will.
I will answer you.
You know, in the message it says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
I love that in the Message Bible. I mean, you couldn't figure this out. So get to God. And dear ones, no matter what you're going through today out there in Radio Land, no matter what it is you're going through, God says, call to me. I'm going to answer you. I'm going to show you things you couldn't begin to figure out. I think this is huge, Pastor Jim, for our lives, don't you? Especially when we're in the midst of issues, we're in the midst of problems, we're in the midst of, you know, job problems, relationship problems, whatever. Go ahead.
Well, it's good. It's just so wonderful because we do get to the end of our human
yes.
knowledge.
Yes.
And we need God's knowledge. I mean,
right.
he says he's going to show us things which we don't know.
Right.
that's wonderful, because on our own, we might try this thing or that thing, but sometimes we just get to the point where we have no human way of doing something.
Exactly.
And, you know, we may try and figure it out, and all we're going to get is a big old headache.
Right.
But God says, call to me.
Yeah.
Call to me, and I'll give you the wisdom.
Woo.
I'll give you the knowledge.
Yes.
To get this
yes.
worked out for you. And, you know, praise God. I mean, and
Amen.
Just on it, so many different levels, because that way, A, you can just relax.
Right.
You know, we've all had those times we've been running around,
right.
doing things, and we get into the flesh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this
right.
problem.
Exactly.
In my own, you know, we depend on the flesh too much.
Amen.
On what we can do. And all that ends up is being frustrating. We get
exactly.
so frustrated and
yes.
anxious and
yes.
nervous.
Yes.
And God says, call to me.
I'll show you
the way to do this.
Praise God.
You know, there's situations in so many lives of the people in the church.
Right.
Me and you included.
Right.
We just have to call on God and say, okay, it's yours. You show me what I need to know about
yeah.
this.
And like it says in the message, I'll show wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Now, this is part of the promise-keeping God that we're talking about today on today's show.
Right.
And right here at the beginning of Jeremiah chapter 33, God says, I'm going to show you. I'm promising you, I'm going to show you what to do and how to do it, and mm-hmm. just relax. Okay? Let's turn now to verse 6, I think it is. Is it 6?
Behold, I will bring to it health and healing.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
And I will
is that
heal
verse
them.
6? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, read it.
Behold, I will bring to it health and healing,
mm-hmm.
and I will heal them,
yes.
and I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth.
Ooh, amen.
Amen.
We Ooh. Need that.
Well,
and I'll build everything back as good as new.
Mm-hmm.
I'll scrub them clean from the dirt they've done against me. I'll forgive everything they've done wrong. These are all promises right here. Every one of these is promises. Does God do these things in our lives today? This is not just for the people of Israel, is it? This is one of those layers of truth where we realize this is for us,
right.
too.
I mean,
yes.
it's talking about restoring Israel.
Yes, it is.
You know, Jeremiah was the prophet of the exile. And,
right.
And you know, that's what's so wonderful about God. He condemned Israel's and Judah's sins.
Yes, of course.
And yet the major prophets, all of them, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Amos, all of them, not only spoke of that, but God always, he said, okay, you did this, judgment's going to fall, but. Verse 6, behold, I'll bring back to it health and
yes.
healing. And
yes.
And, you know, The primary focus here is Judah, Jerusalem.
Right.
But it's us, too.
We are.
Because
it's
we
a figure
all,
type of us.
In
yes.
Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, each one of us
yes.
were under God's wrath. We were children of disobedience.
Right.
But God,
but
through
God.
His great love for us.
Woo!
You know, Ephesians 2, verse 4.
Oh, but, I love that verse.
But God.
But God.
And here it is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Almost paralleled in Jeremiah 33, verse mm-hmm. 6. But
yeah.
I'll bring to it health and
I'll
healing.
I'll bring healing. And I'll build everything back as good as new. I'll scrub them clean. Let's all take that personally, okay? I'll scrub them clean from the dirt they've done against me, because we all have. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'll forgive everything they've done wrong. I love that. Now, I don't know how that says it in your NAS, but I'll forgive everything they've done wrong and forgive all their rebellions.
I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
All
of it, every bit of it, all. And Jerusalem will be a center of joy and praise and glory for all the countries on earth. That's where I never got today, obviously, in this sermon, because God is saying, I know you've messed up. You know, I know you've done this, mm-hmm. this, this, and this. I know you have thoughts that you shouldn't have. I know you have habits that you need to get rid of. I know that you have all of that. But he says, guess what? It's going to be okay. I'm forgiving everything. I'm forgiving all your rebellion And you will be a center of joy and praise and glory for all the countries on earth. They'll get reports on all the good I'm doing, and they'll be in all of the blessings I'm pouring out on her. What do you think? That's a promise, Pastor Jim. Speak to that.
I love that verse because, you know, again, the layers there.
Yes.
And it shall be to me a name of joy, praise, and glory before
yes.
all the nations of the earth.
Yes.
Okay, that's Israel's calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's also our calling.
That is also our
that
calling.
God would, and it's my prayer that God would make us, me, you, all of us who believe, a name of joy, peace, and glory
Ooh.
Before all the nations. Because
praise
that's
God.
What we're called to do.
Amen.
To be a light
yes.
in this world.
Yes.
To be a light to the nations.
Amen.
And, it's my prayer that he would make us that joy, praise, and glory. So when they hear about it, I like this, which they shall hear of all the good I do for you. We'll make it personal. When
right.
they hear about all the good I'm doing for you, they shall fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace I make for you.
Yes. Woo. Amen.
Well, you know, that parallels.
People, yes, go ahead.
That verse in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Right.
All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by my name and shall fear you.
Amen.
You know?
And it makes them wonder what you're up to, that you're walking in such blessing.
And now,
yes,
I'll speak to the current world situation. You know, we've got the country of Greece about to go under financially. And,
right.
And, you know, the European common, you know, the common markets, European Union's working to pull it out of that. We've got our own, we prayed earlier about our own debt problems. God's economy, God's
right.
blessings are not dependent
right.
on what happens in the world. And we need
or the stock market.
Exactly. And we need to see that. We need to believe that. And
yes.
I think that's what this verse is referring to.
Right.
Is it doesn't matter what's happening around us. Just like the children of Israel were protected in the land of Goshen when literally, all hell was breaking loose in the land of Egypt. They were protected.
They were protected.
So were we.
Amen.
In the midst of all
and
that.
And that is because we serve the promise-keeping God. And because he has told us clear back here in the book of Jeremiah of these things that he's going to do
mm-hmm.
to make us a blessing, and that people will look and say, wow, they're being blessed in the midst of this struggle.
Right.
Okay. So let's go on. Yes, God's message, verse 10. Let's go down. I think it's verse 11. Time is coming when you're going to hear laughter and celebration, marriage festivities, people exclaiming, thank God of the angel armies. He's so good. His love never quits. As they bring thank offerings into God's temple, I'll restore everything that was lost in this land. I'll make everything as good as new. What do you make of all that, Pastor Jim?
Well, I want to back up to verse 10.
Go ahead.
Thus says the Lord, yet again there shall be heard in this place of which you say,
mm-hmm.
it is a waste without
oh,
man,
yeah.
without
I
beast.
I skipped that, didn't I?
That
yeah.
is in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
that are desolate, without man and without any inhabitants and without beast.
Right.
So many times we look at our lives as that way, as desolate and just a total waste, a totally
right.
empty, totally desolate. And yet God says, okay, there may not be any, you think there's nobody here now, but
right.
there will again be heard the voice of joy and gladness.
Praise God.
There's going to be bride and bridegroom. There's going to be people who sing out, give thanks
yes.
to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Okay? And people are going to bring a thank offering into the house of God.
Amen.
So, you know, that's pretty amazing.
That's a huge promise.
Well,
and
yeah.
it is happening. It is happening in a huge dimension around the world, I believe now. People
right.
really are, not the whole world, obviously, yet, but there's just so much going on in people's hearts that is good, I
right.
think. Yeah.
Well, you're right. But I think so often, and there may be somebody out there listening right now who just thinks their life is a total waste.
Right.
Totally desolate. It's useless. Why bother?
Right.
God promises here.
Amen.
I am going to do this
yes.
for you. You may say, it's desolate. It's a waste. Nothing is ever going to happen
right.
here again.
Right.
But God says, you're going to hear the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride.
Woo!
And the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Lord.
Yes. Amen. Because, so we can be encouraged because God is going to keep these words.
Right. And God, one of the promises is he'll turn it around all through the prophets.
Yes.
I will restore. I will restore.
Amen.
God can turn it around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally.
Amen.
So look down at verse 14. Watch for this. You know, we need to be aware of what God is doing and look for the blessings. I think so often, Pastor Jim, people get caught up in looking at all the negativity and all the reasons why this isn't working out for them and that's not working out for them. And they get their eyes off the promise. And this show today, we want people's refocus. We want people to refocus on the promises of God. Go ahead. Your comment there.
Well, behold, the days are coming when I will fulfill, here we go, the good word that I've spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
This is verse 14 of Jeremiah 33.
Yeah, God says,
yeah,
the days are coming when I'm going to fulfill these words.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to wait.
Right.
You know, sometimes it takes a while to get that answer.
Right.
Again, the book I was reading by Derek Prince, wonderful book.
Okay. Which one was it?
About prayer. It's one of the books, his books on prayer, Becoming an Effective Prayer Warrior.
Yeah.
And he talks about Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Daniel started praying, but the answer didn't come for 21 days.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, God says, I'm going to fulfill it. And yet, in our humanness, sometimes it's hard to wait. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
You know, well, we'll go on in verse 15. He says, in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety, for this is the name by which he shall be called. The Lord
is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, right? I don't think I pronounced that right. How do you pronounce it in Hebrew?
Yeah, that's it. Tsidkenu.
Okay.
And this was a prophecy of the coming Messiah.
Yes, it was. Right here in Jeremiah, hundreds of years before it happened, before Jesus came through David's line.
I'm going to cause a righteous branch to spring up. He's talking about Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
So again, God keeps his promises.
Amen.
And Jeremiah, this part of Jeremiah was written 590 years before Jesus came.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's a long wait. But he says, I'm going to do it.
I'm
going to
do it.
And he did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kept his word. And that's such an amazing thing. And then he makes, an even bolder promise in verse 17.
Yes.
That David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And the Levitical priests shall never lack a man before me to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to prepare sacrifices continually.
Okay.
Who could that be talking about?
That's talking about us.
Right. Because David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Well, that's Jesus
That's Jesus.
Because, and David didn't lack a man. That line from David to Jesus was unbroken.
It was unbroken.
And then, of course, now Jesus sits on the throne permanently.
And he came through that line. So this has been fulfilled.
Right.
God promised it. And it happened.
Exactly.
It happened exactly like this. And he is the Lord our righteousness. I mean, because Jesus came and provided salvation, we can be righteous, which means being in right standing with God. We can claim that righteousness because it's him. It's Jesus who became sin for us.
It's not our righteousness.
It's not our righteousness.
Isaiah says all our righteousness
it's not our righteousness.
Rags. And it's funny because Isaiah's not talking about our sins there.
Right.
He's talking about our righteousness.
Exactly.
The right things that we try to do, that we try to do in the flesh.
Exactly.
You know? Those are just like dirty rags. But God says, I am Yahweh Tsidkenu. I am the Lord,
I am the Lord,
righteousness.
Your righteousness.
And, you know, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's such a delivering, freedom-making verse because we can't approach God. on our own.
Not our own.
We can only approach him through the blood
now.
Of Jesus.
We can now because of what Jesus did. But prior to that, no.
And before we, before we ask Jesus into our hearts,
right?
No matter how much we try, all we're going to be is frustrated. And a lot of us, I'm including myself, because I was one of those, I was saved.
Right.
But for years after I got saved, I still, had issues going on. And
sure.
I struggled a lot with being accepted, feeling accepted.
Right.
And, when I realized that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If I'm in Jesus, I'm the righteousness of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
That was so freeing for me.
Praise
because
God.
It's like, I don't have to work anymore.
That's right. It's not about works.
I don't have.
Yes.
And heaven knows I'd read Ephesians 2, verse 8.
Yeah, by grace and yes.
Forever and ever. But when those finally sunk in, I realized, I've been working all this time.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And it was just, I could relax. I could relax in the arms of God instead of fighting my way into his presence.
And, the devil does not want us to relax in the presence of God.
Oh, no.
He does not. He wants us to work at it all the time and be so concerned that we are not measuring up. And that is Satan, the accuser of
exactly.
the brethren that I was talking about this morning.
Because he
yes.
just loves to say,
yeah, you're not good enough. You're not holy enough. You're not spiritual enough.
You had a dirty thought.
Right.
Or you had a hateful thought.
Right.
Or you
exactly.
had a gossipy thought.
Right, exactly.
He'll accuse that to us.
Right.
And he'll also try and accuse God,
right.
accuse us to God and say, well, did you see what Jim did?
Right, exactly.
How can you possibly love him?
And Revelation 12, 10 to 12 says, we overcome by the blood of the
Lamb
and the word of our testimony, and we learn to refuse the accuser
right.
of the brethren and understand that these promises are for us.
Right.
And, such good news.
There's so much. There's so much here.
And there's an awful fly that just got stuck in my gooped up spiked hair.
Oh, dear.
And thanks there, Bill. He's running around here someplace. He was attacking Pastor Jim's bald head here a minute ago. But he's got some hair on that head, really, actually. But go ahead.
But, and it goes back again to the blood. The last time
yes.
I was on.
We talked about, we did a show on that, the
Blood Covenant.
In fact, that is June 26th of 2011. And any of you out there that did not or have not listened to that show, go back and listen to Pastor Jim and I on June 26th of this year, because we did a show in depth on the Blood Covenant and what it means. And it will help you so much understand that the promises are
based on the blood.
It's based on the blood of Jesus. It's all based on the blood.
Exactly.
So
everything. I mean, I love that song, The Solid Rock.
Yes.
His oath, his covenant, his blood.
Amen.
Protect me in the whelming flood.
Yes.
There
that's
you
an
go.
Old hymn. And,
one of my favorites.
On Christ the Solid Rock
I stand.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Woo,
and
praise
it, but it's
God.
So true.
Yes.
Because of his blood.
Right.
All these promises are yes. In fact, in 2 Corinthians.
I love that verse.
He says,
yes and amen.
All the promises are yes. And in Christ, we add the amen.
Amen.
It is so.
Woo.
In Jesus, because of what he did, all these promises are yes.
Yes.
Which means, they're ours.
They're ours.
And we can say amen. All we got to do is look at the promise and say, amen, that's for me.
Exactly.
Whatever our need is, God has a promise. And being the promise-keeping God,
amen.
He loves it when we quote his word back to him.
He loves it. He loves it. That's why he says in Revelation 12, 10 to 12, that you overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
There's two parts of that, because the word of your testimony is what comes out of your mouth.
Yes.
What is your confession? Is your confession, God, you're just, you never meet my needs. You never do this. You never do that. God, I don't know where you are. God, you don't love me. God, this, God, that. There are those out there in negative land who that's the kind of stuff they say and confess. And God says, wait a minute, I'm going to bring your attention to the fact that when I say it, this is what God is saying to us. When I say it, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In other words, that little thing we've quoted many times, God said it, I believe it,
that
settles it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
And yet I'm going to open up my mouth and negate the whole thing.
Right, and people do. Why, and that's where they get into so much trouble.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's why James spent a whole chapter talking about the tongue.
Exactly.
Because with, you know, by our words we're justified, mm-hmm. by our words we're condemned. Mm-hmm. Proverbs, right. You know, the power of life and death is in our tongue.
Absolutely.
I don't think people realize that.
No, they don't.
I mean, you know, I catch myself. I have to, you know, that's why David said put a seal over the lips, you know, over
yeah.
my lips.
Right.
It's important that we truly watch what we say.
Amen.
Because, you know, we need. If you can't say anything good about anybody,
speak the word.
Speak the word.
And we negate our own blessings so often. You know, and I'm just reminded, we forgot to mention this, that we have internet up today so that you can contact us during the show, because some of our radio team members may want to do that, or some of our listeners may want to write an email with a question or a comment during this show today and get involved in this discussion. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. In fact, now we have a new email address for Pastor Jim so that you can actually write him directly, because he is such a scholar of the word, and his email address now is pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. So we welcome you to do that while we're talking about this. Let's go back to Jeremiah 31 and read a couple verses, then do a song and come back and explain this. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:31. Easy to remember. 31:31. So go back a couple chapters. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Okay, it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant. This is verse 33 of Jeremiah chapter 31. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel, and that includes us. After that time, declares the Lord. Now, Pastor Jim, would you start reading with the next line? Ooh, I love this.
I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
Oh, my. He's going to write it on what?
On our hearts.
On our hearts. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And this is so cool. And that's why we're all included, Pastor Jim, even though we're not native-born Jewish children of Israel. We are
adopted.
Now adopted or engrafted in and become by faith children of Israel and God's children. Because of what Jesus did, we are accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
We're part of that group.
Amen.
And so God, this applies to you, dear listener. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Oh my. What does that say to you, Pastor Jim, before we do this song?
Such an amazing thing, because under the old covenant, the law, and there were so many regulations, 613
right.
in all.
613
different
laws
regulations. Some having to do with sacrifices and slavery and vows.
What they wore and where they were
where
and what they did.
And what you could do, what you couldn't do, what you could eat, what you couldn't eat. All those laws were on the outside.
Right.
Under the old covenant.
Right.
They were all on the outside. They were things that you did to show
your holiness.
Your holiness.
And even now, Pastor Jim, there are churches that teach that you can't wear earrings, or women can't wear pants. That's still being taught.
Oh, sure.
That you can't play cards. You can't do certain external things or look a certain way. Short sleeves, you know, you can't wear short sleeves. You know,
I'm in big trouble.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is still a part of the religious, not spiritual, but the religious culture, especially in this nation.
Right.
There are groups of these kinds of people everywhere.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, and that's true. And God says, I'm going to write it on your heart.
On your heart.
And
Not on your sleeves.
Right. And amazingly, if you
or your earrings.
If you go and look at the New Testament,
right,
there are more laws or commandments
right.
in the New Testament than there are in the first, you know, in the under the law, in the first five books of the Bible. There's almost, I believe, twice as many.
Okay. But what's the difference?
The difference is those are in our hearts.
They're in our hearts.
And Jesus, you know, Jesus said,
right.
you know, he had a wonderful way of boiling things down. You know, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and all that the prophets have written depend on those two things.
Exactly.
And that's writing the law in our hearts. If we truly
Amen.
Love God, then he's promised to
right.
give us his spirit to lead us. You know, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us, sanctifies
Amen.
Us, sets us apart.
Amen.
So all of that has already been done. He's written it in our hearts. He's put it within us.
Amen.
And that way we know when we sin, you know, we get that, you know, our conscience.
Right. We know we shouldn't have
yeah.
reacted that way or spoken those strong words
right,
or whatever.
Whatever we did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, praise God. Now we have, you know, the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Us.
And he is the Lord our righteousness. Woo! Listen to this song by Chris Tomlin, Our God.
Why do you turn and why? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is
song.
I love that song.
Yeah. Praise God. God is for us. Who can be against us? Our God is greater than any circumstance you're going through
Amen.
Today, dear one. It could seem like your world is crumbling around you. It could seem that maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you're losing a relationship. Maybe you're financially in a mess, whatever the case may be, or somebody in your family or you yourself might be very, very ill. But God is a promise-keeping God, and that's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I have Pastor Jim here with me. Let's go to Hebrews 8, Hebrews back in the New Testament. We're talking now about the covenant-keeping God, the promise-keeping God, And how important is it, Pastor Jim, to serve a God that keeps his word?
I wouldn't want to serve God if he didn't.
Well, there are a lot of people who serve inanimate objects, you know?
I know.
And let's say a little stone figure or whatever the case may be, and a crystal, a piece of stone or whatever. How can that piece of inanimate object keep a promise?
Well, you know, that's what the prophets complained about all the time. You know, they would say things like, you know, you take a big old piece of wood. I know Bill shifted. He's back there.
Yeah,
now.
He's behind us now.
You take a piece of wood. Half of it, you turn into an idol.
Right.
You have to hold it down with pegs. The other half, you burn for a fire. And then you turn to the carved piece and say, you are my God.
Right. Is that ridiculous?
Is that not nuts?
And I totally am a supporter of AA and Al-Anon, with my daughter having a drug issue for so long. And several of you have asked how she is. She's doing great. She will be released from that rehab unit in the minimal security prison in Indiana in just a few weeks now. And that's what I've written that book, my latest book, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, is all about that. And that book has helped a lot of people in the prison. Mm-hmm. We're excited about what God has done through that book. But when you talk about somebody like my daughter who has had addictions issues, and there's so many of our listeners out there, probably Pastor Jim, who have issues with something that has been put up in before God in their life, whatever that might be, that it has become the God or the, in AA, they say, you know, that you must turn over your will to a higher power. But, you know, they don't mention who that is. But most, I think a lot of the people in AA and Al-Anon understand that that is God, you know.
Right.
But, you know, so often the higher power in our lives is the addiction. The higher power is the bitterness, the resentment, the anger that is still down on the inside of us because we haven't dealt with our issues and we haven't let God really write his laws mm-hmm. and his word upon our hearts. You know?
Amen.
I know. I got off on a little preaching tangent there, Pastor Jim. Let's go to Hebrews 8, and let's start with verse 6. I'll let you take it there and describe why we are going there.
Okay.
Well, I get a drink of water.
Okay. Well, the writer of Hebrews goes back to the verses we read out of Jeremiah about the new covenant. In verse 6, he says, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. And the whole book of Hebrews is about how Jesus has a more excellent this, is superior to that. So he says he's obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant.
Better covenant.
Which has been enacted on better promises.
Woo!
Now, you know, we used to sing a song.
Yeah.
Back when I was in Indiana.
Let me see if I sang that one too. What was
okay.
it?
Abraham's blessings are mine.
Yeah.
Abraham's blessings are mine. From Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Right, sure.
Now, and you go through, there's wonderful blessings there. And
right.
yet, the blessings we have under the new covenant
right.
are better.
Are
the
better.
Promises
exactly.
we have are better. You know, and I was, I was thinking about this verse, well, it says in verse 7, for the first covenant had been faultless. There would have been no occasion sought, no need for
a better
second.
One. Right.
Think of what happened under the old covenant as far as sin.
Right.
Once a year, the high priest, and that day, you know, would be coming up if we still had a temple.
Day of Atonement.
The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the innermost part of the temple where God dwelt.
Right.
He would take, you know, the blood of a sacrifice in there with him.
Yes.
And sprinkle it on the mercy seat.
Right.
And then, of course, he would lay hands on the second goat, and it would be sent out into the wilderness.
Putting the sins of the people on that second goat.
But notice, they were just rolled. It's like they were pushed away
for a year. They were pushed away for a year. Yeah, they were pushed back.
Know?
Yeah.
So every year, the high priest, and mm-hmm. Hebrews talks about this, mm-hmm. the high priest had to keep doing this.
Right.
And for every other sin that you had, there in the book of Leviticus, the first, I don't know, 7-8 chapters are devoted to all the different sacrifices.
Right.
If you do this, this is what you have to do.
Exactly.
If this happens, this is what you have to sacrifice.
Right.
You know, that's, I praise God. I'm living under, you know, that Jesus is my Messiah. And
exactly.
I'm under the new covenant.
Right.
Because not my sins are not just rolled back for a year. They're not just covered up.
Right.
They are gone.
Absolutely.
You know, David talked about that. You know, he said, you know, as far as the east is from...
Psalm 103.
As high as the heavens are above
Amen.
The earth, as far as the east is from the west,
yes.
so far has he removed my transgressions
they
from
They are
me.
Removed. They're not just covered over.
Right.
They're not just hidden or put on a goat and sent out in the wilderness. That was the old covenant.
Right. They're gone.
They're gone.
They're gone. And that's why we have such... That's the basis for all
yes.
the better promises.
Right.
And then the writer of Hebrews quotes what we just read out of Jeremiah 33, that the days are coming when I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to write the law in your hearts.
Right.
And in your minds, I will be your God and you shall be my people.
Ooh, amen.
What good news for us. Now that's good news.
Write the law on our hearts. So, in other words, if you were not an Israelite back in those days before...
You didn't stand much of a chance.
You didn't stand much of a chance at having even your sins removed and put on a goat.
Right.
You know?
Because you had to be...
You had to be part of that group of people.
Of the nation of Israel.
Right. And so God saying, okay, this was a foreshadowing or a telling it in advance of what he was going to do. But he had the plan of Jesus all along. Mm-hmm. It was from the beginning, from the foundation of the earth. It was all along God knew he was going to send his son.
The fall of Adam and Eve did not take God by surprise.
Not at all. Not at all. No surprise at all.
Right.
Because God created us the way we are. And we, in our humanness, have failures. We have shortcomings. We have sinful natures. We have habits that are hard to kick. We
right.
have resentments that happen and things like this. And God says, wait a minute. When I send my son, I'm going to write, this was Jeremiah, which we find now in Hebrews, is quoted again.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah, when that new day comes, I'm going to write my laws on the lining of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. How cool is that? And so now we know that God cares about us and loves us and has a plan for our lives.
Amen.
We understand it. It's been written on our heart. Connie has called that for years, the God-shaped hole, that there's a place in your heart that only God can fill. Well, I think part of that whole thing is that here it is. When you allow Jesus to come in and live on the inside of you, he begins to write on the tablet of your heart. Go
Amen.
Ahead. Go
Amen.
Ahead with that.
Well, yeah, it's like, just in the same way, and of course, those of us who've seen the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston,
we
remember the scene where God writes
exactly,
the commandments
yeah.
on the tablets.
Charlton Heston was really cool.
That's what he does in our heart.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, he
writes it.
He just writes it like in our hearts.
And so what happens, and we translate it into everyday living, suddenly you do have the capacity to forgive. And you do understand the importance of forgiveness when in the past, perhaps before you understand that God has written this on your heart, you want to harbor resentment and bitterness and anger and all that. And when you realize God has written on your heart, the ability and the knowledge about his love, his forgiveness, all of those things, and suddenly you want to go with what's written on your heart
right.
instead of your old nature.
Right. The law.
Yes.
Those instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to mention that again. The,
yes.
the word Torah, which is mm-hmm. normally translated law, means instructions. They're on our hearts.
Yes.
And all of a sudden we find ourselves wanting to do these things. We just begin to do them because they become a part of us.
Woo!
It's
hallelujah.
Not like,
that's exciting
yeah,
stuff.
It's not like I have to remember, okay, I have this situation, so where in the Torah is what
right.
I have to do about this. It's written inside of
okay.
us.
Okay, some people would call that your conscience, okay? But a lot of people don't understand that it's more than your conscience. It is that awareness of God. If you have the Lord Jesus in your heart.
Right. It's that part of us that communicates with God.
Right. And it's that part that when you begin to love God, and you're, this just happens to us at Beacon of Hope all the time. What a glorious service this morning. The music was incredible.
Amen.
We have a new person, Aaron, that was on the guitar and singing, Trading Our Sorrows. What a wonderful song. I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And then I'm trading my sickness and my pain. I'm laying it all down for the joy of the Lord. What a great
Amen.
Song. It's a new contemporary song, or newer. Anyway, and Aaron just did it so beautifully. I think we did it, what, 3 or 4 times or more?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because it just got down on the inside of us that is what this is all about. We can trade all this old stuff, sickness, sorrows, pain, shame, all of it, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, we can, and doubt and unbelief, worry, anxiety, panic, we can trade it all in for the joy of the Lord. Pastor Jim, I'm going to preach here. I can tell you right now. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
What a promise.
I know.
What a promise.
God is good for his promises.
Amen.
And I mean, and we have his book of promises right here,
the
Bible. And what I was going to mention when we were back in Jeremiah is, you know, a little bit later in chapter 33, God says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not going to break my covenant with David. The only way I would do that is if my covenant with the day and the covenant with the night and the covenant with the seasons was broken.
Right.
And of course, that's not going to be broken.
Because
he's not going to break his covenant with David.
He set it up that way, right.
And, you know,
In other words, we can continue to expect day and night will happen, summer, fall, spring, and winter, unless you live in Florida. But we still have our own version of that, don't we? Yeah, we do.
But, and think,
it could get down to 80 in the winter, you know, it could. I don't know. No, go ahead.
Even go back, think as, you know, as far as Abraham.
Yes.
The promises that God made to Abraham. Is God good to his word? Does Israel exist as a nation today?
Amen.
You know, just that right there.
Right there.
The fact that Israel exists.
Yes.
Is proof that God keeps his promises.
Amen. And did he send, did he keep somebody of David's line on the throne all the way?
Amen.
Absolutely. Did Jesus, the Messiah, come through David's line?
Absolutely.
Oh, this is good stuff. And we've still got another hour to chat, Pastor Jim. We could talk on and on and on, couldn't
we? Already an hour has passed.
An hour has passed, and let's do some station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Wow, praise God. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries and all the new stations that have been added in the last year or so. And we're live in so many different states, but also if you're in the Tampa Bay area and listening on the radio, you can flip over to the internet, and that is tantalk1340.com. www.tantalk1340.com. If you don't have much time to finish listening to the show today, you can actually go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. www.beaconofhopeministries.com.
.com
and listen to the show anytime after about noon tomorrow on Mondays. By then, we have the shows on our website and they stay there. This is one of those shows, along with June 26th on the Blood Covenant, that Pastor Jim and I have done together, just the two of us, where it's deep teaching and instruction, and you need to get these truths down on the inside of you. And it's just so much fun to get in and explore these things. We love the word so much, don't we? We have so much in common. And that's one of the major things we have in common.
I love just to get into it, tear it apart, put it back together.
Exactly. And explain it.
And
this is a great show today on promise keeping. The promise keeping God.
God is so faithful.
Amen.
You know, he's kept all his promises.
Right.
All the promises that are supposed to have been given to us up to this point, he's kept them.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All the promises of a coming Messiah.
Wow.
All the promises to Abraham.
Amen.
to David,
yes,
the prophets.
Which increases our faith because we serve a God who tells the truth.
Right.
He is truth. He speaks truth. And when he declares a promise, he keeps it.
Right.
And in this day and age, that's hard to find that in other cultures or other religions. It's just not there. We have the promise-keeping right. God as our Lord and Savior. Woo! We have a prayer line. Pastor Jim, we just saw a prayer request come through the prayer line a moment ago, and it is a constant 24/7 available to anybody who wants to. Can you tell them about that and
sure.
how they can access that?
You can access it by email at prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, plural, at beaconofhope.com,
beaconofhopeministries.com. Yeah, exactly.
And actually, or you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. There's a link there also. But you send in your prayer request, and then it's sent to Deb and Alice and myself, and we pick it up. We send it out to our prayer team.
Right.
And we usually will write a prayer along with it, kind of a sample prayer that you can use. We send it out to the prayer team, which now stretches from Indiana to Texas to Florida and
all around
the world.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and people pray, and we believe, you know, for the answers. And I keep
yes.
a little log on Wednesdays.
Yes, you
of,
do.
You know, prayer requests
of all
and
our praise,
reports.
And we had so many this morning as we started this service.
How God is keeping his promises
yes,
to each one of us.
Yes.
So if you have a prayer request,
right.
please send it in. We will pray for it.
Amen.
And we do expect answers.
And we want to hear your praise reports, too.
Amen.
We really
Amen.
Do. And somebody asked earlier, do we accept donations for the radio show? And the answer is yes, we do. And there are some people who support this ministry, this outreach ministry. We are in our fifth year, believe it or not. Boing, boing, boing. Yes, fifth year on this radio station. You know what, Engineer Bill? I think that needs applesauce. There we go. There it is. All right. Thank you. This is show number 225. So it's amazing what God has done. And he has supplied the money for every single show before we ever come on the air. We mm-hmm. already paid earlier before we ever walked in here. God is faithful. He's always done it, Pastor Jim. Go ahead.
He is a faithful God.
Oh, man.
And, you know,
praise
I think
God.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, as
in
we
a
go
few
on.
Minutes, yeah.
And you know, if you want to plant your finances in good soil, because you should plant your finances in ministries that you know are teaching the Word mm-hmm. of God, Beacon of Hope Ministries is that good soil. You can plant with us. Go to our website. There is a PayPal. It's safe. And you can plant finances there, and it will go directly for this show, for the outreach ministry from Beacon of Hope. So we're in our fifth year, and we're excited about that, and getting ready to celebrate our 10th year in October as a ministry. So that's exciting. We're going to start this next hour off with wonderful, merciful Savior, our own Yvette Lori, a dear friend of ours of this ministry, and a friend of hers, Eric Munoz, recorded this.
Blessed Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Praise God. Is that gorgeous? She emailed it to me this week. She was up here last week. Bill, that's Yvette that was here in the studio hanging out with us last week with a bunch of our people that were here.
Well, that was two people singing, right?
Yeah, but the guy, Eric, is a friend of hers. He wasn't here last week in the studio, but isn't that gorgeous?
You know who I thought was singing?
Who?
Nathan.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Did sound like him.
It did sound like Nathan. Yvette and Nathan would sound great together. Right. Oh, my. Yvette is going to be on the radio show as a guest here soon, so we'll let you know when. She's just a powerhouse. Praise God. Pastor Jim, did that get to you?
Oh, did you see my eyes tearing up? I love that song.
Isn't that great?
And, I mean, that's one of my favorite.
Right.
I mean, that song just brings me right into God's
it
presence.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, it's just such a wonderful song about what the Lord has done.
Amen.
For us.
Yes.
And I just hear it and I'm just like, I'm right.
She wonderful
that last
Savior.
Verse, and I'm right there at the throne.
Oh, I know. It just does that. And Connie put it right here on the show today, and it was great. You can email us if you want to talk to us or comment about what we're discussing here online. You can do this online right now if you want. Mm-hmm. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We are in, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6, Pastor Jim, and let's talk about promises. I never got to this in the sermon this morning either.
Imagine that.
Actually, as the Lord began to minister prophetically to several people, you know, it was just amazing what God did today at Beacon of Hope. If any of you out there do not have a home church and you're in our area or you want to come and visit, please do. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night Bible study at 7. Pastor Jim, let's go. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13.
All right, but you know me, I got to back up a few.
Back up. Go right ahead and back up.
The first part of Hebrews chapter 6, the writer talks about, you know, we want to leave the elementary teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he talks about sometimes people just fall away.
Right.
And then he talks about, you know, I'm convinced of better things concerning you and the things that accompany salvation, though we're speaking this way. For God is not unjust to forget all your work and et cetera. And he says in verse 12, and that you may not be sluggish. He wants you to call these things to
mind
so that you not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience
inherit the
promises.
The NIV says, we don't want to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised.
Right.
I love that verse. That's Hebrews 6:12, dear ones. And mark it in your Bible.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
It's so wonderful there because two
mm-hmm.
things.
Don't get
faith
lazy.
And patience.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, or talked earlier in this show about sometimes you got to wait a little bit.
Right.
And then I love it. You know, God's word is so wonderful.
Yes.
It's just so.
Amen.
It just makes so much sense. Because then it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, okay, God promised Abraham a lot.
He sure did.
Promised him
a son.
The land, blessings.
Right.
And just the promise about Isaac.
Right, exactly.
You know, Abraham was, 65 when he got that first promise about the land?
The first promise, yeah.
75?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing had happened. God said, I'm going to give you a son.
Right.
He waited another 24
years.
4 years
till he's 99 before that baby came.
That
and we get so impatient.
Right.
Even when we feel like, God, where are you? You told me this. Nothing's happened.
Right.
And that's the devil trying to get us off into that place of impatience and laziness, I think, really. Go ahead.
Well, impatience because then I can think of my namesake. My name in Hebrew is Jacob.
Right.
I think of my namesake who didn't have faith and patience.
Right.
Even though he was an inheritor of those promises.
Exactly.
Of course, his mama helped him out too a little bit, you know.
He was Abraham's grandson.
Yeah,
his
mama, Rebecca, tried to help him out.
Yeah.
But I mean, look what he did. Here comes Esau in.
Right.
From maybe out hunting or whatever. He's famished.
Right.
He's starving.
Right.
And Jacob stirring that pot of lentil stew.
Right.
And, you know,
it was really broccoli cheddar soup from Panera Bread.
Whatever. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
But, you know, Jacob gets the birthright.
Right. He did. Over soup. And
then.
No soup for you.
I know. And then when when Isaac was old and dying,
right,
he wanted to bless his son, his older son, which was Esau.
Right.
Well, again, Rebecca heard about it, and she, you know, had Jacob put on some fur and stuff, so he'd kind of feel like his brother, who
his
happened
brother
to be
was
really hairy.
Yeah, yeah.
So then Jacob goes in and deceives his father to get the blessing.
Yes.
So he stole those two things.
Right.
You know, that's what we do sometimes. I know I do. If I start to get impatient, I'll try and figure it out for myself, mm-hmm. which goes back to the very first verse we talked about.
Right.
Call to me and I'll answer you and tell you things that you don't know, things beyond your knowledge.
That you can't figure out on your own.
Exactly. Sometimes we try to figure it out
right.
on our own, just like Jacob did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abraham even had a couple of spells of that when he tried to protect Sarah by passing her off as his sister.
Exactly.
You know, that's another thing. I just have to take a little sidestep here. That's one thing I like about the Bible. The people in it are not perfect.
Exactly.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Right.
The Moses, mm-hmm. you know. Moses, if you read through
they're
the book.
They're human like we are.
If you read in Deuteronomy. You know, Moses said, it's your fault I'm not going into the promised land.
Right.
Speaking to the people of Israel.
Right.
I got mad at you, and I did this thing, and now God won't let me go in.
Right.
It's like, okay, get over it.
Right.
But David.
Right.
The prophets even had, Jeremiah had times of utter desolation
yes,
when he said,
did.
Just kill me.
Right.
I can't do it anymore.
I can't do
just
it anymore.
Kill me.
Depression, discouragement, defeat. Yeah.
So.
But. Through all of that, God made a promise to Abraham,
right.
since there was no one greater for him to swear by. He swore by himself, and he said, I am in Hebrews 6, verse 13. He said, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So even though it seems like Abraham had a real long time to wait, which he did, like 24 years or more, he did wait, and he did receive, you know? Go ahead with that. Or do you have something there you wanted
no,
to?
No, just.
Do you have an email?
An email. Hey, Pastor, Terry and I are listening to the radio show while we are driving. Awesome stuff.
Oh, cool. That's great. That's got to be from Aaron.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And happy birthday. Shout out to Terry today.
Oh,
and
yes. Birthday.
And to Carol on our radio team. Carol is such a blessing, and today is her birthday up in Georgia, so a shout out to Carol, too. So.
And to Pastor, whose birthday is on Tuesday.
Yeah, maybe. Well, whatever. Okay.
If she decides to celebrate.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Anyway, let's move on there, Pastor Jim.
You know, and yeah, it says, for men swear, we swear by someone greater than ourselves.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
And with them, an oath is given as confirmation, as it is the end of every dispute.
Right.
Okay? This is it. I've given my oath. I've given my word. It's the end.
Well, just like in court, when people go
right.
up to testify, they have them raise their hand and give an oath, promise to tell the truth, you know, so help you God. Now, we know a lot of them lie, but the whole concept is...
They will tell the truth.
That the concept that our forefathers started all this from was that people are supposed mm-hmm. to tell the truth on the witness stand.
Right.
Now, God says, wait a minute, there's nobody greater for me to swear by than myself, meaning God. And he says, so I'm telling you that when I tell you something, I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead.
Well, it says, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise.
Amen. That's us.
That's us. The unchangeableness of
mm-hmm.
his purposes.
Yes.
Okay. I said it. I'm going to do it. I will do it.
Amen.
I've done it. I'm going to tell you I did it.
Exactly.
Interposed with an oath in order that by two unchangeable things, his promise.
Yes.
His promise and his oath.
His oath and his promise.
In which it is impossible for God to lie. We may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge, in laying hold of the hope set before us.
It's impossible for God to lie. That goes totally against his nature. He cannot do that. And yet, we as humans who are made in his likeness, We still have that fallen nature we're born right. with. And so often lying becomes a way of life. For people, we know John 10:10 says the thief, meaning Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it also says, Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan is the liar and the father of lies. And yet we are so suggestible, people are, to the lies of the devil. When the devil says, you're never going to make it. You're never going to have enough money to get on top. You're never going to be loved.
You're never going to get victory
You're never going to get victory over this habit, whatever the case may be. And we buy the lie. We did a show. There's one in the last few months. Pastor Jim, it was Don't Buy the Lie. So people can go to our website and find that. But it was about this battle between Satan's words to us and God's words to us. Go ahead.
Well, and I think sometimes... because we are human, it's sometimes easier
yes.
to believe the lies, to believe, you know, what Satan says about us,
right.
you know, suggests to us, oh, well, you got a little pain, so maybe you're not healed.
Yeah, maybe you're not healed. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're dying. Maybe maybe you have cancer, you know.
Well, and it's hard sometimes.
Right.
To just say, no, the word of God says I'm healed.
Amen.
By his stripes,
Amen.
I am healed.
Praise God.
And again, we need to get vocal.
We have to get vocal. We have to open our mouths and declare what is true.
Again, the book. I'm so glad I've been reading this book by Derek Prince because he talks about Psalm 8.
Right. Psalm 8, yeah.
Out of the mouths of babes and infants,
right.
he has ordained strength
Amen.
To shut the mouth of the enemy.
Right.
And in the Septuagint, which was the version, the Greek version that Jesus used,
right.
remember the triumphal entry, the priest said, tell this crowd to shut up. They're making too much noise.
Right.
My own paraphrase. And Jesus said, haven't you heard that out of the mouths of babes
yes.
and infants, thou hast ordained praise.
And a lot of God's children are still in the baby infant
right.
stage.
It's out of our mouth.
Yes.
That's what shuts
yes.
the mouth of the
Woo!
Enemy.
Praise. Wait a minute. Bing, 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 bing.
Because if we stay quiet,
right.
we're going to be hearing.
We're going to hear the lies of the
devil.
We're
going to hear the lies. If we speak out of our mouth the word of God,
right.
it the word of God, Psalm 8 says it shuts the mouth of
it
the enemy.
It shuts the mouth
it
of the devil.
It shuts him up.
Praise God. He hates the word.
Oh.
Satan absolutely hates the word. So if you want to get victory in an area in your life, you need to learn the word. And we're a word-based church at Beacon mm-hmm. of Hope. And that's why Sunday morning, Wednesday night, it's all about the word of God, like this
Amen.
Show. It's teaching you the word and the importance of the word. Go ahead.
Well, and here we have but two unchangeable things.
Yes.
His promise.
Yes.
Not only did he give a promise, he backed it up with a covenant.
He
we read about
it up with
that
a covenant.
In Genesis,
Amen.
Where Abraham split the animals and
yes.
God walked down between the carcasses.
We taught on that on the
June 26th yeah.
Show.
That was God making his oath, his covenant
yes.
with Abraham. And then it says, we have this hope
Amen.
As an anchor for the soul.
I love that. We have this hope as the anchor of our soul.
Yeah, which goes into the veil. I just picture this anchor, you know, clicking onto the heavenly mercy seat. And
right.
I'm at the other end, but the anchor holds.
Amen.
Again, my anchor holds beyond the veil.
Oh, yeah, good old
And
songs.
I'm at the end of that chain,
Woo!
But my anchor's holding on the mercy seat of God.
Amen. Ooh. And, you know, when you're, and I do a lot of boating, and just a couple weeks ago, I was out with my sister and brother-in-law on their boat, and we pulled up to Caladese Island, and the waters were kind of rough, and my brother-in-law, you know, said, get that anchor out, come on, we don't want to drift too far here, you know, so we got, you know, actually my sister got it out of the front, and was throwing it, you know, and all that, and when that anchor caught, we felt it. Okay, in the boat. And suddenly we were still bouncy a little bit, but we didn't like drift out to sea. Our anchor held right there in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able, and Jesus is that anchor, dear ones, for each of us. Pastor Jim, we're coming back to this in just a minute. I did not know Connie put this song, this next one, on this show. Connie's our music director, and I just give her a theme, and then she just takes it where the Holy Spirit says to her, I've been singing this song all week, Jesus Messiah by Chris Tomlin.
He became sin, who knew no sin. We might become his righteousness. He humbled. yourself and carry the cross. Love so amazing.
God, what a wonderful song. I love Jesus Messiah. That is a great song. Chris Tomlin, excellent. Wow. Pastor Jim, we are in a great discussion here and a teaching today on our promise-keeping God. Good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff.
We're in the book of Hebrews. Where do you want to go next in Hebrews here?
Well, there's so much.
Yeah. What's on your heart?
Well, I just
chapter 9,
chapter 10. Those are some
what
of my
verses really stand out to you there. In nine,
starting with verse 11.
9:11. Okay.
But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, mm-hmm. not the one that was on earth.
Yes.
But the one in heaven.
Yes.
Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood.
Amen.
He entered the holy place once for all.
Jesus the Messiah.
Obtained eternal redemption.
Woo, amen.
Okay, not just, I love that, eternal redemption.
Eternal redemption.
Okay.
Forever.
Forever redemption.
Mm-hmm.
For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh. Okay, it'll take the dirt off the flesh,
right, sure,
as it were.
Yeah.
How much more,
yes,
will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to,
amen,
God,
amen,
the perfect Lamb, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
For this reason, he is the mediator
of a new covenant. There's that new covenant.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, so Jesus came and took, when he died on the cross, he took his blood before the Father.
Amen.
Into the heavenly holy,
yes,
of holies.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Before the Father, sitting on the heavenly mercy seat. And sprinkled it before the Father. And the Father, you know, God the Father said, it's enough.
It's enough. That's okay.
It's from Adam's first sin,
right,
to the sin of the last person
ever
who will ever live, it's enough. From one end of creation to the other, it's enough.
No more blood of calves and bulls are required.
No.
None of that,
no,
anymore. Goats.
Because it's been done. And that's the promise. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus died on the cross, what did he say? It is finished.
It's finished. That's what he declared.
And
amen.
In the Greek, that, yeah, word is in the perfect tense. It stands finished.
It stands
right
finished.
Now,
amen.
It's finished now and forever.
Praise God.
Okay? That's a promise that we,
amen,
have. That's the kind of God we serve. It's finished.
So when we come before him and we say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come and live on the inside of me. I believe you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I believe you're the Son of God, the Messiah. You came to this earth. You died on the cross for my sin. I accept that sacrifice that you did. I believe that you came out of that tomb, a risen Lord. And you declare that you are now a child of God. And we pray that a lot on the air here. But
right,
that's the essence of salvation. And we say, okay, God, I accept that your perfect sacrifice was all that was needed. It's enough. Just like you said, it's
right,
okay. I accept that. And by faith, I believe that now I'm a child of God because I believe what I just said. And what you're basing that on is the promises that God has made,
right,
us.
God promised, mm, in Isaiah 53, he talks about the,
yes,
sacrifice,
wonderful,
of the
chapter,
servant.
Yes.
Pointing directly to Jesus.
Yes.
You know, that he would pour out his life. There's so many prophecies in that one chapter.
Right.
That, you know, he'd pour out his life. He'd be whipped.
Oh, there's so much, yeah.
There's so much in there. And those were fulfilled.
Pierced through for our transgressions,
right,
and the sword that went in his side. So much, yeah.
And all those were fulfilled when,
yes,
Jesus went to the cross.
Amen.
That's the promise. And the oath is the covenant that Jesus made. When he,
amen,
said, it stands finished.
Yes.
That was it.
That's it.
That was it.
Stands finished.
And that's
finished.
Why when we pray,
right,
whether it's the prayer of salvation,
right,
or the prayer to receive the fullness of the Spirit, or a prayer for healing or deliverance or whatever, we know because it's backed up.
Right.
At the cost of God's Son.
Amen.
You know what?
That's
what
our guarantee.
Right. What more could God have done to guarantee this better covenant?
Send his own Son.
He sent his own Son, and he not only just sent him to earth, he sent him to die.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten,
right,
Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the words that came out of Jesus' own mouth,
right,
in a prophecy that God was going to do this very thing. God,
right,
so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that was the words that came right out of the Son of God's mouth. And because Jesus agreed with the word. He agreed with what had already been, what the Father had already promised.
Right.
Wow. Good stuff.
Amazing stuff.
But Pastor Jim, so often the devil gets in and deceives people into thinking that God doesn't care about them, that he doesn't really love them, that he doesn't really have a plan for their lives. And they get snowed into unbelief, discouragement, defeat, sickness, pain, disease, all of that.
It doesn't matter. what you were, what you are, what right. you think you are.
Right.
When Jesus said, "For God so loved the world."
Amen.
That included everything.
Everybody,
and
you, too.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say. Put your own name in there. For
yes.
God so loved Jim.
Right. Exactly.
Oh. They
Praise
just want to
God.
Tear up. For God so loved Jim.
Amen.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
For God so loved you, listeners.
Amen. Yes.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That when you believe in him, the transaction's made. Your
it's
sins
done.
Are gone. You begin a new life with
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus said in John 10:10, which we quoted earlier, I'm going to say it again. The thief, that's the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to have it, give it to you abundantly. And then the next line is John 10:11. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Okay. And the 3 points we were making this morning is that God is good all the time. He's good all the time. The devil is the one who has lied and said that God is doing bad things to good people. You know, God is not doing bad things to good people. Our own actions do bad things and trip us up.
Mm-hmm.
The devil trips us up and puts disease and sickness and all of that on us. God is good all the time. And he always loves us, Pastor Jimmy, always loves us, no matter what we do or what mess we get ourselves into.
Well, and I just feel so strongly that maybe there's somebody out there that says, well, you don't know what I've done.
Right.
It doesn't matter what
you've
done.
It does not matter.
Because either Jesus' sacrifice was
right.
good for everything or it
right.
was good for nothing.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay, because if we limit that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then that leaves us on really shaky ground. So there, I just really feel like there's somebody out there, you're feeling like you just can't measure up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
None of us can.
Right.
But take this to heart, that God loved you enough to pay the price for whatever
Amen.
You've done.
Amen. Amen.
He laid it on Jesus.
Yes.
And all you have to do is thank him for it and believe that that's what he did for
Amen.
You. Because it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's all taken care of. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on your behalf.
Amen.
That you could become the righteousness of God. God takes you where you're at. Right where you're at right now.
Exactly.
God wants you to come to him.
Amen.
And accept whatever. Accept his forgiveness. Accept his love.
Amen. And understand that he loves you that
Amen.
Much. He loves you so, so much. It's all based on his love for us. And he's good. And he's a promise-keeping God. Those three things, get them down on the inside of you. God is good all the time. And he loves you all the time.
Amen.
And he's
Amen.
A promise-keeping God all the time.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
None of that. He doesn't ever change. It says God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, right. today, and forever.
I am the God. I am the Lord. I do not change.
I do not change. You know, he's constant. He's the constant in our lives. We're the ones and our circumstances that change all the time. And we change our mind. We change our opinion. We change how dedicated we are to God or not. We change our interest in God. We change our attendance in church. We change our Bible reading amount of time. We change our prayer time. We change those things. And God all the while is sitting there saying, I, the Lord, do not change. I'm the promise-keeping God.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Praise God.
Ooh.
So, how does this affect our listeners, Pastor Jim?
I'm praying and believing that our listeners are going to, you know, hear this and it's going to sink in. And I would encourage everybody to go and look up the promises.
Amen.
You know, there's another,
there's actually in a lot of Bibles a section in the back that says the promises, right?
And, you know, if you go
promises
to,
of Jesus.
I know if you go to Walmart and some of the other that have the little inspiration sections in their book sections, you can always find the little Bible promise book.
Bible promise
book. It has all the promises.
They're there.
Yeah. Christian bookstores carry them.
Right.
You know, those are handy little things to have, especially if you're just starting out, because you may
right.
not, you may not know, I have this issue. I don't know where to look in the Bible. Well, those things can be really valuable helps.
Absolutely. There's little books that help you with worry and fear mm-hmm. and all those things. A promise is a pledge. It's an agreement, right, between two people.
Right.
Me being a realtor for 20 years, I mean, people sign at a closing table, they sign a promise to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a note. Okay, they promise to pay for that house. And they say, here's the terms. I'll pay this much per month. I'll pay it at this interest rate. And I'll pay it for this many years. And that's what I'll do. Okay. And so the promise to pay is the foundation of why you go to a closing and then why you are given the keys
right.
to move into the house. Not that you own that house outright. We call them owners, but everybody that has a mortgage on a home is not
the bank. Owns
the
it,
bank really.
Really
owns it. You have a promise to pay.
Right.
Okay. Now it's the same thing with God. He has given us all these promises and he promises to fulfill them. Okay. But with God, he doesn't change his mind like some people do. That's why we have a windfall of short sales. People who have, by their circumstances, perhaps aren't able to complete the promise to pay.
Right.
Okay. But God has always, always been able to keep his promises.
Well, that's because it's already been paid.
Oh, my. It's because it's already paid for. It's like somebody buys a house and they pay cash for it. I see that now in real estate quite a bit. People pay cash for a house. Now, so when they don't have to sign a note or a promise to pay at closing, they simply get the deed to the house when they exchange, let's say, $100,000, and they put that in the form of a wire or a cashier's check to the title company, and they're paying $100,000 for this house.
They
get the keys, but and the other person gets the keys, but the other person that has a note on the house still has to do something. But when you pay cash, it is yours entirely. Mm-hmm. You don't have to make any payments. You don't have to do anything. And that's the difference. That's what we're saying here, Pastor Jim, because God already paid for the note. He paid the debt, that old song we love. He paid the debt that I
did not owe.
I owed a debt.
I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Amen. But now I sing
a brand new song. Amazing Grace.
Amen.
Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Amen and amen. He already did it, so we don't have to do
amen.
It.
Amen.
And, you know, I think so often people don't realize the value in their salvation and what it really means. Because in the salvation is more than just saving you from sins.
It's more than fire insurance.
It's more than fire insurance.
Yes, salvation is remission, forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
But it includes being in right standing with God. Being made righteous.
Right.
It includes being separated from the world and from Satan. It includes peace.
Peace.
Includes healing.
Amen.
Wholeness.
It's a lot of benefits here.
Yes, blessings. It includes blessings. It includes the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not just keeping you out of hell.
Right.
It's so much more.
And so often we don't realize that. Let's think about an analogy of a house. And if you buy a house in a gated community, I've got a listing like that right now. And a lot of the gated communities actually have a great big pool there and clubhouse and tennis courts and stuff like that. And when you buy a house in a place like that, you have the right to go use that stuff. Now, there's usually a fee involved, but still, it's part of that community, and you can legally go use that pool. You know, nobody's going to say, well, where'd you come from?
Right.
Because you would simply say, wait a minute, I bought that house down the street. Oh, okay, you can use the pool. Okay. Now, this is what we're saying here, Pastor Jim. When we actually buy the package and take it, sign for it and say, yes, Jesus, you're my Savior. His name is not just Savior. His name means so much more. Helper, standby, you know? He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He is all of that. Like you just said, he brings peace.
Right.
He brings healing to our emotions. These are great promises we should be getting in on.
Amen.
Woo. Hallelujah. We got to do this song, and then we're going to try to wrap all this up. But you know what, Pastor Jim? we are still, we've been here an hour and 45 minutes, and you and I could just talk on and on and on.
We could.
Oh, I love Carmen. In fact, Carmen is the nephew of my home inspector.
Really?
How about that?
Praise God.
How about that? He's a great, wonderful singer. I feel Jesus. That song at Beacon, and I just love it. I feel Jesus. God is right here. He's Amen. In this place. We thank you, God, that you are right here. If there is anybody listening to this show today that is not sure of your salvation, that if you died tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? Pastor Jim, I'm going to ask you to repeat the words that I pray here. And those of you out there that want to receive Jesus as your Savior, your healer, your deliverer, your promise keeper, all of those things, any of you out there that aren't sure of your salvation, let's do it right now. Just pray with Pastor Jim, and he'll repeat what I say. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I ask you to become my personal Lord and Savior.
I ask you to become my personal Lord and Savior.
I ask you to become the healer of my body and my emotions.
I ask you to become the healer of my body and my emotions.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
And with my confession now, I declare that I am a child of the living God.
I declare that I am a child of the living God.
I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
For anything and everything I have ever said or done.
For anything and everything I have ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
I begin this moment now.
I begin this moment now.
Sure and certain.
Sure and certain.
That I am your child.
That I am your child.
And you are my Lord and Savior.
And you are my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Woo! Praise God. All right. If you prayed that prayer with Pastor Jim, we want to hear from you. You
Amen.
Can write me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can write Pastor Jim at pastorjim@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we welcome you, of course, anytime.
Amen. Welcome to the family.
Yeah. Welcome to the family of God. Pastor Jim, I want to give you a couple minutes just to kind of wrap up your thoughts and say whatever you feel like saying and just... And by the way, I look forward to you hosting the show next Sunday, and Devin Alice will be here with you in the studio.
I'm already excited.
And it's going to be fun, and you just are going to go with it, and I'll be enjoying my grandchildren for a few days, which will be really cool.
That'll be nice.
It is. They're wonderful. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we talked a lot about our promise-keeping God, and
yes.
from Genesis to Revelation, God has made promises.
Amen.
And he's kept them.
Amen.
And he's, like I said before, he's always made a covenant to enact those promises. He made a covenant with Abraham.
Amen.
When he made the covenant with Moses, Moses took blood and sprinkled it on the Ten Commandments and on the scroll
yes.
of the law and on the people. When Jesus, of course, when we move into the new covenant, we have Jesus' blood. God took that, and again, I would encourage our listeners, so you know what we're talking about here, to listen to the June 26th broadcast, but all those promises were enacted by a covenant of blood.
Amen.
The most precious thing, it's life. You know, God says the life is in the blood.
Yes.
And God enacted that, those promises. And, of course, we talked about Jesus. That covenant was enacted on better promises
Amen.
Because it was enacted not on this physical realm, but Jesus went before the Father in heaven. That just is so amazing
it's wonderful.
To me that it's infinite
yes.
what God has done. And, you know, I think, again, in 1 Corinthians, all of the promises of that God has made, Genesis to Revelation, are yes in Jesus. And all we have
Amen.
To say, Amen, it is so.
It is so.
And
which is what Jesus did when he fought the devil in Luke chapter 4. He kept saying, with all three temptations, he said, it is written. And he just quoted the word.
Right.
And that is what he expects us to do, is speak his word over our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm going back to Revelation 12, 10 to 12. When the devil comes, the accuser of the brethren, and starts accusing you to yourself, accusing you to God, accusing you to others, you need to be mindful that you defeat him. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it's so important that the word of your testimony agrees with the promises that God has already given us in his precious word. They Amen. Are here. They are for us to discover, and they are for us to start working with, speaking out of our mouths and believing that they are true. And honestly, Pastor Jim, our listeners really need to be in the word of God. There is no substitute for it. And you need to be in a Bible teaching fundamental type setting where you're learning the word of God so you can use those promises on a daily basis and overcome your situation. Go
Amen.
Ahead.
Well, and you know, there's promises in the word about the word.
Exactly.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. You may feel like you're lost.
Right.
The answer's in the word. God Amen. Will give you light.
Exactly.
The word is light.
Right.
The word is life.
Amen.
You know, Moses, when he spoke to the children of Israel, his last words to them were, these words that I've spoken to you, they're not just ordinary words. They are your very life.
Amen.
They're your very life.
Take it seriously. Take it seriously. Like when you go to a physician and he prescribes you a medication, most people take that seriously. I suppose some don't, but most people say, okay, I better go get this filled mm-hmm. because I have this infection and I need this antibiotic to combat the infection in my body. So you go and you take the prescription to the pharmacy right. and you fill it and you take the medication as prescribed, or at least you do in an ideal world, right? In Jesus, he says, wait a minute, I've already given you the promises that are going to fight this or that in your life. Mm-hmm. Find out what they are. The responsibility for finding out what they are really is on our shoulders mm-hmm. because it's all right here. We just have to do something about it and find it and live it,
and
walk
live it
in it.
And walk it and speak it.
Speak it. Praise God. Praise God. Bill, I'm going to ask you in just a minute, I'll give you the sign to put that Carmen song back on a little lower so I can talk over it. I feel Jesus. Actually, go ahead. And we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. And we work together in the ministry at Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Clearwater, Florida. If you're in our area, we invite
Please.
You.
Yes.
Come visit us. Experience a service. Experience a Wednesday night Bible study, which is so powerful. We start with prayer meeting at 6:15 on Wednesday and then Bible study at 7. Followed by praise team practice. And what a band we're getting together.
Amen.
Wow.
And
God
that,
is blessing.
It was an answer.
It was a promise.
It was a promise.
That God said he would bring the band back together. And some of the band members used to be with us, left for a season, came back. Now we also have new ones that are added. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, a promise from God. Wow. Praise God. Woo. I feel Jesus in this place. If you are hurting in your physical body, know that God wants to heal you. He wants to touch your life. Just experience his presence in your life. Sunday mornings are at 10 o'clock at Beacon of Hope. Come experience the ministry of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's powerful. It's powerful.
Amen.
There's so much that God is doing in our worship service and in the ministry that happens after, isn't it?
Amen.
People are prayed for.
Well, and we believe that God moves in those
yes.
services.
Yes.
That the anointing is there. Because it's been promised us from
Amen.
The Word.
Amen, and we just draw on it.
We're seeing it.
We're seeing it. Actually, I'm teaching a new class now, Faithful Leaders, and that's this Thursday night at 7 for an in-depth study mm-hmm. of the Word. It's exciting. The book of Nehemiah and the book of Philippians. So we have a lot going on at Beacon of Hope. Actually going to a Rays game here soon. We welcome you to come visit. And go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and find out what the Word says about you.
Amen.
And get into it. Get into the Word of God. Praise God. It's been a joy to be with you today. Woo! Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Let's go to our last song, Bill. We'll phase that one out, and we'll go to our last song. It's Not Far to Jesus.
It's not.
Thank you, Pastor Jim, for being on again
Always
today.
A pleasure,
what
Pastor.
A joy. What a joy. God bless you. And talk to y'all soon. See you next week. Living the Good Life, 4 o'clock. Actually, Pastor Jim will see
you next week.
That's right.
O'clock.
That's exactly right. I'll see you 2 weeks from today. 4 o'clock next Sunday, live on this radio station. God bless you. Have a great week. If we can help you, write us prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. From here to Jesus. It's not far.